I'd like to welcome you to this celebration of the life of our dear friend, Lorraine Rothman, and invite you to turn your cell phones off.
Thank you. I'm Chris, and this is Carrie, and this is followed by you. Thanks for your practice.
We did that. Where was I? I apologize. We are now to the hymn portion. If you would open up your books to hymn number 38, Morning Has Broken. And for those who are able to stand, please stand and join us in one of the community's favorite hymns.
The way she grabbed a hold of life.
She just grabbed at it and exercised her will and her control. And if I'm upset, that's too bad. Because Lorraine was Lorraine. And she did things her way, and that is part of her unique charm and character and what makes her so special to all of us. You can try to give her input, you can try to give her feedback, and she is going to do it her way. Now, I'm playing a little bit with words here, just for a moment. She did not want a service for her. So this service isn't for her. It's really easy. This service is for us. This service, given Unitarian theology, given Jewish theology, is not about the ultimate repose of her soul. She would not want us praying for her. But she would understand our pain. She would understand our sense of loss. She would understand our looking for some way for our souls to be at peace with the reality of the terrible change we have to go through in changing Lorraine from before our eyes to inside our hearts, there to keep her warm and alive forevermore. It is not a trick of linguistics to say also that there is some sense of relief that after she grabbed a hold of her diagnosis and willed how she would spend her final journey, that there is some sense of relief, not that she has stopped living, but that she has stopped dying. And that's not a trick. That's a truth. We may not agree when the living process turns into a dying process at some magical moment, just as there's no magical quarter inch where short becomes tall, but we recognize it. And we recognize near the end that she was near the end. And so she has stopped dying. She is at peace. And we are here to mourn and to celebrate. It was frustrating not to be able to say goodbye. That was part of her choice, that she spent her final times with the nearest of her family and didn't want many of the people who love her to see her in the condition that she was in. And that was a choice, and that's one, again, that we must respect. And I know that it was hard for you who were there, who had to see her in a weakened condition, to have to see her as she journeyed towards the end. Part of grieving, because we do grieve, is a process of taking someone from their last days, that picture that we have in our heads, that picture that we hold for the moment so hard in our hearts, and through the miracle of memory and of sharing activities during her life, sharing with each other, as time goes by, in our hearts, that picture changes. And if I can use the old metaphor of film, the film runs backwards, and her eyes regain their shine, and her spine regains its strength, and her smile beams out again, and we can hear her laughter again in our minds and in our hearts. One of the gifts, I guess, that she gave by choice in being away from so many of her family, so many of her friends in the larger community in the last couple of weeks, was that we don't have that picture in our heads. We've already jumped to another place that's going to take the family longer to get to. My last memory of Lorraine is I was standing out there in the patio. She was standing in the parking lot with that stance that she has, and her smile beaming, and her eyes lighting up, and laughter coming out from that beautiful face. And that's the picture that I keep. And it is a picture that I will keep forever. I would have liked to, many of us would have liked to have had time to say goodbye, to say Lorraine from our community, Evelyn from other communities, we will miss you. We will miss you. We will love you. And we will not forget you. Not ever. There's an old line in a prayer book, the Union Hebrew Prayer Book of the Reform Movement that I grew up with and that Lorraine was familiar with. And it says something that's always given me a great deal of comfort. It says that our grief is according to our blessing, and tears are the tender tribute of yearning affection for one who is gone but cannot be forgotten. And so we remember. We do not ever forget that thread that connects us with Lorraine. We recognize, however, that that thread has been cut. And what we can do, and that's what that line in Ecclesiastes, a time to rend and a time to sow, is that it was the fashion and still is the fashion in some cultures to tear garments upon death as a sign of despair, to join that with keening and wailing and crying. There is a hole in the fabric of our lives made by the physical absence of Lorraine. But we weave those broken pieces of cloth together through the thread of memory. Memory that is shared. Memory that each of us has that can give, that we can give to others. It's not the same as having her here, but it's the best that we can do through our tears today and through our laughter later, as we hear her laughter. Life is not resume. It's not dates of entry and departure, not jobs held. It's lived with people. It's lived with all of you. Some people, when they saw all of the obituaries, when they saw all of the links, a Wikipedia entry, a half page of the LA Times, weren't surprised that Lorraine was a big deal. They were only surprised that so many people knew it besides us, because she was a very big deal to all of us, to everyone here. With her talents, her humor, her laughter, her seriousness, all of the things that she did. Now, life isn't resume. It's not a date of entry and departure. It's more like a stone, a pebble that's cast on a still pond. It sends out ripples far beyond its apparent points of entry and departure. Those ripples go on and on and on, way past when we can consciously discern it. We sometimes ring a bell as part of our service. It's an Asian tradition. And I invite you to listen to the bell as the sound fades. When does it end? When do the vibrations end? Different place. This elephant aerobics going on somewhere. I don't think that's San Andreas turning over, if you were worried about the thumping that you hear. I don't have a good explanation, but I'm pretty sure. Well, maybe it's Evelyn complaining about, right, this service looks like it's about me. What are you doing here? On the chance that that's not it, let me ring this bell and note, when does the sound go away? When you can't hear it without a mic, you can still hear it with a mic. Does that vibration, do all of those vibrations that were her life and her actions, do they go on past when we think we can no longer hear them? Do they fill the room? Do they fill the community? Do they fill hearts that were touched and are still touched by her life? I would like to believe they do. I would like to believe that we can continue throughout the course of our lives to hear the song of her life in our hearts and let that song change and inspire and influence the song that we sing with our lives. A wonderful Unitarian who is sometimes known as Saint Ralph in Unitarian circles, Ralph Waldo Emerson, wrote the following: to have succeeded, to laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty and find the best in others, to leave the world a better place, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. stitch together our memories and give each other comfort through shared memories and stories and tears and laughter. Celebrating her life, we're celebrating somebody who was a character and had character. And when I say was a character, I mean by that she was not generic. She was one of a kind. And so if this celebration seems a little bit unusual, well, we celebrate a very unusual and wonderful life. Somebody who spent her life making a difference to our world. If she was my kind of Marxist, I got to tell you. I'm talking both Groucho and Karl. She had Karl's sense of humor. That's backwards. She had Groucho's humor and Karl's, much of her professional life that you're going to hear about was doing that Marxist thing and seizing the means of production. Seizing the means of reproduction to its proper owners that drove much of her life. Seriousness and humor. Passion and compassion. She was one of a kind, and we will not forget. Now, Jay, with the first eulogy.
Good afternoon, Kim and Lorraine's longtime associate. Are we closest working relationship?
A little better.
Carol Downing. And others here from many health centers. And good afternoon to the choir of the church, which gave Lorraine so much pleasure, and to all the other friends and acquaintances. For a reason, in this century and in Europe too, I think, and I don't know about Asia, are there any of her folk dances for us? Yeah! I'm Judith Calusi. I've known Lorraine and her family in various ways for over 30 years. Every woman who believes in her right to her own health care decisions, I should probably salute to the passing of a great champion of those rights. And every man who loves a woman should salute this woman also. I think if you look closely, you'll see that the lives of each of us have been affected by her work. Lorraine was a tireless researcher, writer, and a traveler. The summary of her public life was wonderfully told in the LA Times article by Elaine Wu, and I brought some copies of that article that you may have there in the social hall on the table in back. So I've been forwarding this article to young women and mothers of young women. I think it's important history as well as important information for today and the future. Kind of subversive, actually. She's also featured in the recent book, Feminists Who Changed America. And as we all know, she certainly did change it. And you can find her history in her own words on the audio recordings that are available online from South Bay Long Beach archives. The family and the cultural background that nurtured Lorraine tried to foster the old world values, the extreme values, the orthodox Jewish values, and the behavior appropriate for a female born into a family living those values. Her father spoke for her, her brother spoke for her. She even remembered that her little playmates, chose games for her and that they would play. With a strong character born in here, something just went right for her. She resisted the female segregation of her religion, But she lived an expected life in other ways, becoming a teacher, marrying, having children. But years later, her voice was finally awakened, possibly with a roar, I don't know, I wasn't there, but certainly stronger than most women. When she was 36 years old, and Andrea just a baby of one, she attended a wilderness event at Cal State Fullerton, consciousness race, women's liberation, the unraveling of the feminine mystique. She took to it like a duck to water. Within 3 years, she was on the road east of New York on a Greyhound bus with Carol Downer. 22 stops, spreading information and ideas all across the great land of ours. Since we all knew Lorraine after this time, it's hard to imagine that she felt any qualms in going to that first meeting, but she did. She felt vulnerable to criticism in going out without her husband. My women just didn't do that. And asking him to watch the children. In those days, it was considered that for a father to take care of kids, he was babysitting. And what a time that must have been, 1968, 1971, for her children. You know, Murray was age 12 to 15, and Kenneth 9 to 12, and Teresa 7 to 10. Andrea, just in her little formative years. I suppose it may have been confusing for them, or dismaying at times, or perhaps adventurous for them too. But ultimately, they have each thrived, and they're all strong, good looking, raising children of their own. I hope you all have your mother's joy of life. Never did I see Lorraine depressed. Outraged, yes. But she was so articulate in her outrage and analytical and sometimes gleeful that but never with malice. Never with malice. It was a pleasure to participate in that outrage. She had such fun in many activities. She practiced meditation seriously. I mean, she had fun, but she took her fun seriously. You know, she had respect for what she was involved in. In later years, she became a dedicated folk dancer, including folk dancing tours to Alaska, and I can picture her going up the coast, Alamande left with the iceberg. Yeah, she really enjoyed that. One friend remembers her glee in demonstrating her microwave oven way before the rest of us had ever heard of. Another remembers her passing enthusiasm for watching sumo wrestling on television. She took up bicycle riding, switching for the comfortable seat to fit her body, and she found it. She rode up to my house one day and had to demonstrate how good it was. And I remember her sharing with me a process of producing a health drink made from incubating fungus with some kind of energy. A fungus with a history of polyomino. And floating on top of a gallon of water, kicked one by the pilot light in the other. So, basically, I killed mine. And she was a choir member. I was so impressed with the joy and delight she expressed in telling me about finding another voice with new hair. She enjoyed singing enormously, and like everything else, she took it seriously. I met Lorraine first as a parent at Community Open School in Fullerton. She brought Andrea there, as did other health center mothers, because the school was egalitarian with mutual respect for parents and students and teachers, equality of participation, a place practicing the values she and Carol established in the Feminist Women's Health Centers, the values of empowerment in your own life. Let us thank, celebrate, and remember Lorraine Rossman, and go forth and practice those values.
I'm not sure if 10 years of teaching even prepared me for this day. one thing to stand up in front of students and banter around and talk to them off the cuff. Stand up here in front of lots of faces I remember as a child, faces I remember as an adult, and new faces I haven't met. It's quite a test. I thought I could do it without looking at my notes, but bear with me, I'm going to have to refer to my notes a little bit. My name is Andrea. I'm Lorraine's youngest child. As Jay put it, I was born right before this awful gospel Lorraine. I never knew another Lorraine. This is all I've ever known. I was raised in the health center, amongst all the health center staff, in the health center, outside of the health center, and eventually worked in the health center myself. That's all I've ever known. My brothers, my sister, they got to travel the country with mom and dad. They have very different experiences. But I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to speak for the family, that I sincerely thank all of you who came today and shared in this celebration of mom's life. I want to thank the choir for being such a valuable asset in mom's life. She, like anything she ever did, she did it with passion. She did it with enthusiasm. And the choir is just an example of that. She couldn't wait to call me on the phone, tell me that she got involved with the Unitarian Church, is now singing in the choir, and I couldn't wait to drive up to San Diego and see her singing in the choir so fast. Many of you learn a lot about Lorraine from reading the obituaries, from listening to Jay talk this morning, and John. A lot of you didn't know things about Lorraine. She kept her life very private from the church. Mostly again because she wanted to. Not because she had anything to hide, but because she wanted to share a different Lorraine with all of you in the church and the residents of the church. Mom was brilliant, extremely spirited. People fell in love with her because of her energy and enthusiasm for life. She loved to sing. She loved to dance. She loved that bike. And Kim and I got to share a wonderful Thanksgiving with Mom. She brought her bike up to Sacramento. Mom and I rode the Sacramento River. Then we packed up the bike and rode to the city, rode to San Francisco. And we still laugh about it. Kim and I still laugh about it. We're driving our Tacoma pickup truck, three bikes on the back, on the bike rack. And we're parking in the Embarcadero in front of Pier 39 at a meter. And if you know, if you have handicap signs, you can park in a meter for free all day long. And here we are, a truck and a bike rack for the handicap. I still laugh about that every time you ride by that spot. That memory is deeply ingrained in my heart, in my mind, as I know it was Lorraine as well. Talk about it all the time. And we made plans to make that trip again as soon as she was well. Mom put up a good fight. Very good fight. It's been said that Mom could intimidate a grizzly. Unfortunately, cancer was the one grizzly that Mom couldn't take down. She was strong. She's always been strong. She was in control. She's always been in control. About a year ago, I got a phone call from Mom. And that's when she first shared with me that she's starting to have some health issues that she was concerned about. And I made some frequent visits in Sacramento to here, whenever I could, to go to the doctors with her to try to resolve what was going on. As the year went by, weakness set in. Lorraine began to evaluate her life. We spent a lot of time on the phone. Spent a lot of time here, again, whenever I could. She told me a lot of stories. Shared with me in detail her family history. Shared with me in detail, once again, the life that I lived in the last 4 years through the women's healthcare movement. And the shift in time from the 70s to the 80s to the 90s to now. She laid it all out. She knew deep in her heart that she made an impact on this world. She did what she set out to do. No regrets. She just wished and hoped, and I know she told me, that she would hope that her legacy would continue. On September 7th, my sister Teresa and I were in the hospital with Mom when the doctor broke the news that Mom had stage 4 cancer. And Mom began to think about what she wanted to do. The options were treatment, aggressive treatment. The doctors told her you have a 10% chance. Once again, Mom is always taking control of her own life, her own health care. Decided she was going to take care, she was going to take control of her ultimate fate. She said, I'm bored. I've done everything I want to do. I'm ready. That gave us, her family, the strength we needed to get her through that last stage, to get her through the next 18 days. I've watched her and witnessed her strength. And I often try to emulate that. Her calmness when times get tough. I try to emulate that myself. What a wonderful, wonderful woman. The one thing that Mom asked for in the hospital was that she be at peace. And for her pain to go away. Talk. The excitement in your voice when you talk about the choir. and just talk about your bike and the ride you went on today. I'm going to miss our yearly outings, our trips. I didn't always agree with you. It was Jay who put it. I can remember the quote now, you've been with it. I learned to be tough. I learned to be tough because of you. And we had our rounds. And we got through it. And we built, and we got stronger. Our relationship got stronger because of it. I've always supported you. Always believed in you. Mom, we finally gave him a rest. In peace. In your pain is gone. I look forward to the day when we get reunite and be together again. I love you.
Knew her and know her differently. Different parts of her life, different relationships. For Andrea and Kenneth and Murray and Teresa, mother-in-law, friend, grandmother, dancer, singer, activist, educator, a different person, but yet also that thread, that continuity that runs through her life, because I have to believe that she was recognizably Lorraine in every setting, whether singing or dancing or teaching or arguing. I saw a continuity of a person, a complex and wonderful person. We have some time to give each other the gift of a couple of shared memories. I know that we have a very large group, and I know from the Unitarians, a loquacious group, so I would ask everyone to try to give, I won't say a paragraph, because I know some of you have read James Joyce, he gave 43 pages in one sentence. So I'm just going to ask, two breath worth of a shared gift to each of us and to family and friends. And please state your name and which community you come from.
I'm Judy Hurst, and I'm the director of the choir. I'll always remember when Lorraine first joined. She didn't just join the choir. She became my right-hand person. She was a music librarian. Lorraine was the first one to arrive on Sunday morning, and I would always tell by her gait before I even saw who walked through the door and the pink hat. And she, on Thursday nights, would make sure that she walked upstairs with me so I wouldn't be by myself when I set the alarm and left. She would call frequently. We would talk to each other, and we had our chats, not just weekly chats, but two or three times, and she'd say, "Do you have a minute?" I always had a minute. An hour later, I would say, "Who am I talking to?" Lorraine. So, and I remember, Andrea, how happy she was. She said that when you and your dad bought the timeshare of the family in Hawaii, she said that was the best thing. She said she's so glad now that you have that time to share. Well, Lorraine, I'm going to miss our chat. And but we'll always remember you. Oh, one more thing. When we got our own sound system and everything, I said, "But Lorraine, we can't afford it." And she said, We can. And she said, "We're going to go to the board." Well, Ruth went to the board, and we had the sound system. It amazed me that when I visited with a family a couple of weeks ago, that they mentioned that she thought of the chimes. we've been talking about getting handbills and starting a handbill choir. And they said, you'll have your handbills, and then when you ring the bells, you'll think of Mom.
Okay, let's for
our choir.
Anybody?
I'll be one, John.
Lorraine was a trip. I just remember we were going to do a 40th Ruby Jubilee, and somebody came up with the idea that we do tie-dye shirts. And I thought, yeah. And then I looked at Lorraine, she's like, yeah. So I thought, okay, let's bring out her inner hippie, because I didn't know, really know her that well. And she was very supportive. And then while we started singing the songs from there, Let's Go to San Francisco, I think was one of them. Oh, she looked at me with these stern eyes, like, well, that's much fun to be a woman during those times. And then I started to get a glimpse of that other dimension of her. And I'm going to miss her. She was special.
John. We're changing tape right now. So this is called the vamp part. Let me know when you're ready.
Thank you.
They came to a meeting. It was in a pouring rain, and they had various suitcases full of all kinds of material. And in that pouring rain that night, they sat on the doorstep and said, "Rosalie, we are going to visit Margaret Mead, was that her name? That wonderful woman in the East Coast, so that we can share some stuff that we have with her." And it was a wonderful thing that they did. And they did it, and I said, "Don't go out in the rain." And they said, "No, we're going to go right now." And that night, they got up and took their material and went out in the rain to go back east to share the material she had so that she could help us all. I really know when the night, it was the 5th anniversary of now, our chapter, and that was the first meeting she and Carol Downey had in the organization that we had. And from then on, they continued all that wonderful work. And it was a great help to all the women who were in the organization and even to others outside, I'm sure. I love Lorraine. We were very, very personal friends. And she helped me when I came to Anaheim to live. She told me where to get a good dentist, who was my dentist to this day. And she was a wonderful dentist, and I am very grateful to her for that, too. I loved her dearly. I will never forget her. And we were very close friends. She used to tell me about her husband, and I met him, and he was a wonderful man as well. And we always used to share a lot of wonderful experiences that we had. To this day, I will never forget all the wonderful things she did, and I'm grateful for having had her as my friend. Because
she helped me to end the person I am today. Lorraine, I love you. So there's some question about whether her legacy would continue? I don't think so.
Rosalie. I'm sure I'm glad. Another voice in women's liberation movement, I think, over there. Repeat what she has to say. But Lorraine's legacy indeed lives on. And that obituary by Elaine Wu introduced to a new generation what many of us got from Lorraine and Carol in their work. And Lorraine's voice can be heard. I am so happy. We had not been in touch for many years, and when I called her and said, "Lorraine, I want to put your oral history up on a virtual oral history archive so people can hear it around the world," and she was so happy. She knew how important it was, and she was delighted. So I'm so glad that you can all hear her voice, that people around the world can hear her voice and realize the impact that she has on so many of us.
We have time for, I believe, two more.
This is important. My name is Nancy Atwood, and I want to make sure that the Filipino community is represented. There are at least two rows of us here, and I know there would be more. There are more here in spirit. And Lorraine was our treasurer. That's when I first met her. She did many, many things. I won't tell you all the things she did. But she was so much fun, and it was always more fun when Lorraine was there. And my own personal memory is looking at her, dancing in line, and we looked at each other and just burst out laughing. And we missed her after she stopped dancing, and we will continue to miss her. Center, and Lorraine, we love you, and we'll always remember your favorite dance, because we always think of you. Well, I can't think of the name, but there's one dance that I always think of you.
Covering the demographics today.
Hello, my name is Gary Daniels. I used to be the youngest member of the choir. And that's when I really got to the NFL array. Lorraine was just so full of energy. She was the most energetic person on the choir. And when I started thinking about quitting, because I was starting to get bored, she said, and I'll never forget this, she said, "You're bored, hey, look at me." And that's the story. No one can ever replace her. She acted like family toward me. And I love you as well.
What some of you missed was she, when he said, "I'm bored," she said, "How could you be bored? I'm here."
I'm Heather, and I'm the executive director of the Southern Children's Health Center in Northern California. And my contribution.
The director is lying.
Do you want me to change the resources? And I want to tell all of you that the legacy of Lorraine and Carol, what they started, lives on today. And we, this is Eileen right here, Schenker, and there's many of us in this audience today that started the L.A. and Orange County Health Center, of course Carol's here, and then a few of us in Chico started a clinic 32 years ago, and we're still providing services. We also have everybody here from Seattle and Yakima, Washington. There's 12 remaining women's health clinics, very controlled health clinics in this country that do a full range of services that have been under attack for many years. Many of those live right by our side. So I know that she's very happy to see that there's not a day that goes by that we aren't getting the kinds of services that she works so very hard for. Well, one thing that Carl Marx didn't have was sisterhood. And Carol attracted all of us who formed as difficult as it is, a sisterhood. And Lorraine, we are going to continue. And we're going to continue finding other women and sharing other women and sticking together as sisters. And Lorraine affirmed a woman's right to just be in her own body, be here on earth, and be together. And we continue. We follow you with this. She was Lorraine. I knew she was off of Evelyn, but I always called her Lillian. I tried not to. She said she had an Aunt Lillian, so this was an okay thing to call her. But what we came to after a while was she said really a wild streak and a wild idea, and it really was taking off. I would say Lillian has come out. I will miss her a great deal. I wrote down words the day that she passed away. Innovative, exuberant, exasperating, exciting, excitable, energetic, opinionated, brave, courageous, sexy, studious, investigative, challenging. I've heard some other words today. She loves her children and her grandchildren and father and incredible individual. And her whole life was a blessing to all of us. I will always see her up there with the picture,
that picture of the senior face up there with the choir. That was not for the family, and that was the land.
I'm Laura Brown. I knew Lorraine about half of her life and much of mine. My mom, Carol Denver, and she were partners, and I got to go along with a lot of their work. And I want to share with you a story that's specific to her. When I was first becoming fertile, to get a pregnancy test in L.A. cost the cheapest at Brand America was $50. And the turnaround time was 3 weeks, which put many women out of the range being able to get an abortion if they had access to being able to get anything. It was, if you remember, those gray hairs of us, the rabbit time store. This image of this lab work and this problem, this question of finding out when we're pregnant. So at this time, the self-help meeting and the women we meet from all over Southern California and give themselves assignments and then come back to the meeting and feel your report, okay? Well, this one week, Lorraine did. And even though to me as a girl, Lorraine is a grown-up, I saw a little girl. Her sparkling eyes, she couldn't sit still. She was so excited, she was just like crazy. Waiting for her turn to get to make her.
She waited.
And they showed her the pregnancy test. She whipped it out, and we're all ready for like laboratory work. And you know what it was? It was a dot of urine, the dot of a color chemical, and then you rub it together and it became another chemical. And Lorraine figured it out. And not only did she figure it out, she brought it to us. And we did. I guess mom would know, but I think like weeks. We were the women that are doing pregnancy tests like crazy. It changed our life. It flipped us upside down. It isn't just learning to love you and this is by. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The legacy continues.
Thank you.
at a time like this that we're not all the same. There are a variety of communities here, of religious traditions and views, and there isn't one language or set of symbols that works for everyone. So with open hearts and open minds, we reach out in the words that we know and that we're familiar with, because we agree that we are here to celebrate a life. Whatever our differences are, we are bound together by that life. In Bereshit, in Genesis, it says that God breathed the spirit of life into the nostrils of Adam. And in Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, that life force goes back in the final breath. In science, we believe that nothing is created or destroyed in the world but change. That this is a service of change. This is not closure. We don't walk out of here healed. We walk out of here nourished by each other's company and by memory. We give to each other whatever comfort we can in doing what I said, with that hard job of moving Lorraine from our eyes to inside our hearts. You will miss her. You will mourn her. It will be the hardest at happy times when you have something that you want to share, when you reach for the telephone to make a call, to say, Mom, Grandma, Lorraine, Evelyn, Lillian, however you knew her, when you are at a dance, when the choir is doing wonderfully, and yet there's that voice that isn't there, that we only hear inside our heads and inside our hearts. That's how we get through. We don't get over, we get through. There's one other little thing from the Jewish tradition with which Lorraine grew up, and that is in the Torah portion that talks about the death of Israel, of Jacob, it doesn't say he died. It says he lived. I think that's important to carry with us today. Everybody dies. Not everybody lives. Lorraine lived. She lived full and hearty and passionately and was a wonder and a blessing to all of us here and a curse to those who probably needed to be cursed. And that's all right too. So we take her with the rich complexity of who she was. As family, as friend, as co-worker, as dancer, as singer, as woman, as human being, with all of her richness. I've kept God out till now, but I'm going to bring it in twice. One Atlas and one Athena. So it's okay, we're still in safe Unitarian territory. Atlas, as you know, carried the weight of the globe. We carry the weight of the world. We carry the weight of the world that is unfinished, that Lorraine carried and engaged, and it's our turn to carry it and to keep the legacy alive, to carry the grief, to carry the work, to carry the passion, to feel that weight of the world and not run from it, but engage it the way that she did. And we are also Athena. With wisdom and grace and tenderness, carrying the weightless, the real and eternal spirit of Lorraine Rothman wherever we go. Please open your hymnals and rise if you are able for our closing hymn, and then I have one final piece. We're going to sing it through twice, page or number 123.
Thank you.
extinguished this flame, symbolizing her living presence among us, and rings the bell, letting its sound and its song go on forever in us and through us and to our world. Concludes our service. You are all invited into the social hall for a lunch in Lorraine's honor. Thank you for being here and sharing your gifts of memory and company with the family.